started.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercies and love. Thank you for your compassions toward us. Thank you for your blessings that we have received. Thank you for your name that is working great things. Every time we pray in that name, be praised forever in Jesus' name. We are grateful for all the benefits we have been receiving from you because of your mercy and because of your faithfulness. Thank you for making us to succeed in everything we lay our hands upon. Thank you for taking away reproach and shame and limitations from our lives. Thank you for destroying the works of the devil that were formed against us. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for opening doors for us to move forward into the place of fulfillment of destiny. Thank you for helping us to grow up into spiritual maturity. We can know you face to face and hear from you directly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for teaching us your ways so that we can know how to walk with you, how to please you, how to fellowship with you. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for all the things you have been teaching us in this place every time we have Bible study classes. Thank you for the knowledge of your truth that we now have, because you always expose your truth to us every time we have Bible study class. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask that as we spend time in your presence to learn from your word, minister to every life here this evening in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you speak to every heart here tonight. Bless everyone. Minister life. Minister faith. Minister righteousness. And revival to everyone that will be listening to this teaching. in Jesus' name. Thank you, for we know you're going to do beyond our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome you to the Lord's presence. We are going to continue from where we stopped in our teaching on backsliding. So let us move to the next point. Yeah, don't forget, we have been looking at points under a subtopic that says danger signs that lead to losing faith. We've been considering some points under that subtopic. And last week we finished with the point that says desiring worldly pleasures and riches. And now we are moving to another point, which is not being grounded in the Word. Not being grounded in the Word as one of the danger signs that shows that the believer is backsliding or losing faith. Not being grounded in the Word. By being grounded means being planted, being rooted in the Word of God. Yeah, in the knowledge of the Word of God. Just the way you plant a tree and then the tree starts to take roots downward, to the point that the tree is now firmly rooted and firmly grounded, and the tree is now standing, yeah, even in the midst of strong storms, you will still see the tree standing firm, even in the midst of very, very strong and violent rain and wind. The tree is still standing very firm. Yeah, so that is what it means to be grounded in the Word of God. That is to be rooted, to be planted, to be deep in the Word of God. Yeah, so if you look at your life and you realize that you are not grounded in the Word of God, that alone is a sign that you are backsliding or you will soon backslide. Yeah. It is either of the two. It's either you're already backsliding or you will soon backslide. Yeah. It is just a matter of time. Yeah. It's just like and house that doesn't have a strong foundation. Yeah, the house may look very beautiful, but in a matter of time, the house would collapse, especially when the rain falls and the wind blew and flood came or a flood come. Yeah, eventually the house would collapse. So let us look at what the Word of God has to say about this. Open your Bibles to Matthew 7, verse 26 to 27. Matthew 7, 26 to 27. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Yeah. Can you see that? The rain descended, the flood came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Yeah. That is the, or that is going to be the end of any believer that is not grounded in the Word of God. They always fall. And that is why I am not so much excited about people surrendering their lives to Jesus. I'm not so much excited about that. Though I'm excited, I want you to quote my word very well. I'm excited when I see people surrender their lives to Jesus, but I'm not so much excited. And you know why? It is because they may not last long in Jesus. Even the same people who give their lives to Jesus today, or who have surrendered their lives to Jesus today, or who have accepted Jesus into their lives today, they may not last long in the faith. They may soon fall away. Yeah, then what really would make me very excited is when I see people who are grounded and rooted in Jesus, in the Word, in God. Yeah, that makes me very excited. When I see Christians that are growing spiritually, yeah, Christians that are getting stronger spiritually, Christians that are knowing God very closely or at a very close level, or very close range. Yeah, Christians that have so much believe God to the point that nothing can shake their faith anymore. Yeah, when I see such Christians, I get very excited. Yeah, Christians that so much trust God and believe God to the point that even if the whole world rises against them and against their faith, they are not going to compromise. Yeah, they are not going to compromise. Those are the kind of Christians that I like to see. Yeah. So we should take our relationship with God deeper. Yeah. Don't just be a shallow Christian. Be a deep Christian. And how will you become that? By becoming grounded in the Word of God. And God already provide how. He already provide the way for us to have this maturity, this spiritual maturity. He already gave us so much that we need. So much. In fact, we have more than enough. More than enough provisions to grow spiritually. As in, we have too much, too many provisions that will enable us to grow spiritually. Yeah, but the problem is that a lot of Christians are still neglecting the path of spiritual growth. They have no interest, or they have only very small interest in spiritual growth. Yeah, I remember what the Lord was telling me some time ago. I think it was in the year 2020, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. He was telling me some things about our present generation. And he was talking with sadness in his heart. Yeah, as he was speaking to me, he was very sad in his heart. Yeah. And his heart was full of pain. He said many things then, but the one that I really want to talk about was when he said that he made a statement like, he said, "What is it that they need that I have not done?" Something like that. Yeah. He said, "What is it that we need, that is, human beings in this generation?" Yeah. He was saying that, "What is it that we need that he has not provided?" Yeah. And as he made that statement, I was, you know, how do I explain it? That statement entered my heart like a sword. It was as if a sword pierced my heart. Yeah, when he made that statement, yeah, the thing broke my heart, and I was in tears, because I discovered that there is nothing we need that Jesus have not provided for us to live a holy life, for us to please God, for us to draw closer to God, for us to grow spiritually. Yeah, so he was telling me that the grace we need, he has provided them. The sacrifice for our forgiveness, he has provided. The strength we need, he has provided. Everything we need, even the Bible that we need. Do you know how much battle that God fought to make sure that Bible is available and accessible to everybody in the world today? Because the enemy wanted to destroy the Bible. Yeah, but God made sure that the enemy wasn't able to destroy this Bible that you now have on your phone. There was a time that if you are caught with a Bible, you are in trouble. Yeah, they must not find a Bible with you. I'm talking of some many years ago. Yeah, they will kill you. Yeah, you must not, either they will jail, they put you in prison, or they kill you. Yeah, or they kill you because they don't want any copy of the Bible to exist again. So they want the Bible to be forgotten forever. Now, do you know how much battle God and his angels fought to make sure that you and I can still have access to the Bible today? So when Jesus was telling me that, is there anything that we need that he has not given us? I was really moved. Yeah, and it broke my heart because he has given us everything. Everything. Yeah, some people will say, I'm trying my best to grow spiritually. I'm trying my best to draw closer to God. I'm trying my best to live a pure and holy life. Yeah, but it's all a lie. It is all a lie. Yeah, because they are not trying their best. Yeah. Yeah, they just give excuses. Pastor, I'm trying my best to be a prayerful Christian. I'm trying my best to study my Bible. I'm trying my best to meditate on the Bible. But it's all lies. They are not actually trying their best. Yeah, they are not trying their best. Yeah, because these same people, if you tell them that do this task for me, it's going to cost you just maybe 8 hours or 12 hours. Do this task for me and I'm going to give you $2,000. Just do it for me. These people, they may decide not to sleep until they finish that task. Why? Because you mentioned about money. Yeah. And there are the same people that are saying that, Pastor, I'm trying my best. Now, the best they put in making money is greater than the best they put in growing spiritually. Or maybe I should put it this way. The energy they put in making money is greater than the energy they put in growing spiritually. And yet they say they are trying their best. Are they trying their best? Of course not. Yeah. So, we are failing God in this generation because our priority or our highest priority is not God. Our highest priority is not the things of God. It's not the kingdom of God. It's not spiritual growth. It's not getting closer to God. Our highest priority is worldly things. Yeah, earthly things. Yeah, and that is why we will continue to fail God. Yeah, so if anybody, I mean anybody, anywhere in the world, is going to make up their mind to really seek after God and for these words, they will find God. God will appear to them and draw them closer unto himself. In fact, the Bible is saying that if we seek him with the whole of our heart, that we will find him. Only if we do it with the whole of our heart. Yeah. So the problem is that we have not really started to seek after God, to long after God, to pursue after God with the whole of our heart. That's the problem. Because if we do that, there's so much provision that will make us have great breakthroughs. Yeah, if we start to find God, run after God, we start to look for revelations in the Word of God, understanding of the Word of God. If all of us start to do that, we will have breakthroughs. Now, when I say breakthroughs, I'm not talking about breakthroughs in physical things. I mean breakthroughs in spiritual things. We'll be able to have great and glorious spiritual experiences. We'll be able to have our eyes opened, our spiritual eyes opened. So we have those types of breakthroughs. We'll be able to hear God's voice. We'll be able to receive spiritual gifts. We'll be able to receive impartation, visitation, and sometimes from God. But not many people are actually hungry for God. We are hungry for something else. Now, let us look at that scripture again, or should I read for you that place that says, if you seek for God with the whole of your heart, that you will find him. Yeah, let me okay, maybe we should read that. We should read again that those verses that talked about being planted on the right foundation. Then later, I will look for that place for you. Now, let me read that those verses again. Matthew 7. Or maybe I should start from verse 24. Matthew 7 from 24. From verse 24. Matthew 7 from verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. Now, verse 26 and 27, pay attention. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So now, if you pay attention to what Jesus said, if you pay attention to what Jesus said from verse 24, you're going to see two things there. Number one, whosoever heareth this saying of mine, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, that's number one. Number two, and then whosoever doeth them. Yeah. So the first thing is hear his saying or read. Yeah. Hear his sayings or read his word. Yeah, because the Bible is full of God's word and Jesus' word, and you know they are the same. Both Jesus and God, they are one. Yeah, so the Bible is filled with the words of Jesus and the words of God. So let's say you hear his word, or you heard his word, and then you read it. Yeah, it's the same. Whether you heard it, or you read it, or you read them, or you heard them, it's the same. Now, so number one is that you hear or you read the words or his sayings. And then number two is doing them. Yeah, so that is where the wisdom is. You heard his sayings or you studied it or you read it or you read them. And then you do them. That is where the wisdom is. So the wisdom actually is in the obedience, is in doing them. Yeah, so until you do the word or obey the word, you are not yet grounded. Yeah. Can you see where the wisdom lies? So now, I was able to find that scripture I was talking about. It is in Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. Let us read it, and then we'll continue from where I am right now. Yeah, Jeremiah 29, verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Okay, can you see that? This is God speaking. He said, you will seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Yeah. The problem is that we have not searched for him with all our heart. That is why some of us have not found him yet. Yeah, and for those of us that have found him, we know who we found. And nothing can take him away from us. Yeah, because we know how precious and priceless he is. Yeah. yeah, you know, the way you search for something that is lost, and that thing seems to be very valuable to you, and then you kept on searching everywhere for that thing. Yeah, because you can't just afford to lose it. Yeah, so that energy you put into it, that focus. Yeah, that is how to search for God with the whole of your heart. So when God sees that you really want Him, you know, God is not cheap. Yeah, God is not cheap. Yeah, is too expensive. Is priceless, too valuable, that there is nothing here on earth. In fact, even in heaven, there is nothing that can worth its value, that can be used to quantify its value. Yeah, or to measure its value. Yeah, there is nothing that can match up with his value. Yeah, it is too priceless. So, and that is why he will not just give himself to you deeply. Yeah, because he is not cheap. Yeah, so that is why he hid himself, so that all men would seek for him. All men would search for him. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know the kind of relationship some people have with God. And God seems to be so cheap to them. Yeah, but me, I know the God that I have, and I know He's not cheap, and I know it's not easy to get Him. Yeah, it's not easy to win Him, to win His heart. It will cost you a lot to get Him closer to you. You have to lose a lot. You have to die to many things. Yeah, you have to surrender many things, give up many things, to be able to get Him closer to you. Yeah, even Paul the Apostle saying that so many things that he counted so precious to himself, he had to. Discard them the way you discard rubbish. Yeah. All those tops you're no longer using. The way you discard them. So he said he had to discard many things. Yeah. He had to throw them away as rubbish. Even the things he used to value so much, he had to discard them so that he can gain Christ. Yeah, if you read your Bible, you'll find that verse there. Yeah. So that is the God that I know. You don't get Him cheaply. Yeah, if there is a God that you can get cheaply, then that God is not the God that I serve. That God is not the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe. Yeah, because the real God is not cheap. Yeah, and you have to search for Him with the whole of your heart before you can find Him. Yeah, He had made sure of that. We have to search for Him. Yeah, like the way you're searching for a treasure. We must search for him. We must hunger for him, thirst for him. Yeah, before we find him. Yeah, but what I know about him is that he's a loving God and he's so merciful. So if he sees your heart that you really value him above every other thing, and he sees the sincerity and passion in your heart that you really want him, it will not make you to search for too long. He will visit you and he will come to you. Yeah. So that is it about that. Now let's come back to that Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. And I was telling you that the wisdom is in doing. Yeah, that is where the wisdom is. Yeah, because every time you read about the words of Jesus, you have to read carefully. Yeah, because of all the words in the Bible, the words that came directly from the mouth of Jesus in the New Testament, they are the greatest of all the words in the Bible. Yeah. Though Paul the Apostle was very anointed. Yeah, but all his powerful teachings, they don't match up with the teachings of Jesus. But that doesn't mean that Paul was teaching something different from what Jesus taught. No. In fact, Paul brought out a lot of revelations from what Jesus taught. Yeah, and Paul made it very easy for us to really understand the principles and standards of God's kingdom. Yeah, which Jesus came to show us. So Apostle Paul made it very easy for us to understand them. Yeah, but even with all the powerful revelations Apostle Paul wrote about in the Bible, they still don't match up with the teachings that came out from the mouth of Jesus. So whenever you read the teachings of Jesus, read them very carefully. Very careful. Yeah, because they contain powerful truth. Yeah, they contain mysteries of God and His kingdom. Yeah, so the wisdom, according to what Jesus said here in Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27, the wisdom is in doing the word. Yeah, so he said, those that heard his teachings and obeyed the teachings or start to do the teachings, he said, they are the wise. But those that heard and did not do, he said, they are the fools. The foolish. Yeah, so if you are going to be grounded in the word, you must do the word of God. You must obey the word of God. Yeah, so hearing the word is not enough. Reading the word, studying the word is not enough. Meditating on the word is not enough. Now, what makes it enough is practicing, doing, obeying the word. Yeah, that is how you start to go deep in the word. Some people, they have so many sermons on their mobile phones. I mean, some Christians. They have so many teachings, so many sermons on their phones. Yeah, they listen to so many messages from men of God. I mean, from real men of God and anointed men of God. Yeah, but if you look at their lives, there is no transformation. These people, they still enjoy committing sin. They still tell lies. They still steal. Yeah, they still do many things that are wrong. Yeah, they still have bitterness, hunger, hatred. Yeah, in them. They still have worldliness in them. And yet they listen to many powerful teachings, including my own teachings. Yeah. But no transformation in their lives. Nothing is changing. Yeah. Nothing. No spiritual growth. Nothing. They are just as worldly as they were when they are still in the world. There's no difference. Though they are identifying with the church, they are identifying with Jesus, but the nature of sin is still alive in them. The lust of the flesh is still alive in them. Yeah, pride is still alive in them. Yeah, worldliness is still alive in them. So their heart is still after the things of the world. And yet, they claim that they are Christians. Yeah, so the problem of such people is that they are not doing the word. They listen to many messages and sermons, and they say, wow, that man of God is deep. Yeah, they say, oh, that preacher has revelation. Yeah, but that is not the point. The point is not in the depth of the teacher or the preacher. The point is, are you doing what you are hearing? Yeah. Are you obeying what you are reading in the Bible? That is the point. Yeah. Until you start to do that, You can't survive, or let me say, you can't last long as a Christian. You will soon fall away. In fact, I don't even know if I should call you a Christian. Yeah, because a Christian is someone that obeys the commandments of Jesus. Yeah, so I don't know if I should call anyone that is not doing the word of God. I don't know if I should call them Christian. Yeah, so, and then if you happen to be a preacher or a minister of God, yeah, you are not wise until you start to do and practice the same things you are teaching and preaching to the people. Yeah, the same things you are telling others to do. You are not grounded, you are not rooted. Yeah, I remember some time ago, I was listening to one popular man of God that is popular in Nigeria here. Yeah, because he used to teach with eloquence and revelations. So, many people like him because he used to teach with many revelations of the Word of God. Which is good. There's nothing wrong with that. But one day I was listening to some of his teachings, and I was like relating with what he was talking about. That's very correct. I was confirming some of the things he was talking about as correct, because they're actually correct. But in my spirit, I still felt that something is wrong with the person that was preaching or that was teaching. Though what he was teaching is correct, 100% correct. But I could feel in my spirit that something is wrong with him. And then I was trying to understand what exactly is wrong with him. And the Holy Spirit was telling me that it is one thing to have revelation of the Word of God, and it is another thing to walk in the reality of the revelations that you have gotten. It is one thing to have revelations of the scriptures. It is another thing to walk in the reality of the revelation. Now, what that means is that every revelation of the Word of God is for transformation. It's for them to change us into mature Christians. There's a transformation they do to us, those revelations. To the point where they now become, they become part of us. And we are now living those things. You can hear something. It's different from now that you are living it. And you can teach something. I can teach many things. But am I living those things? Am I living in those things? That is what it means in walking in the reality of your revelations. For instance, I can teach a lot about divine healing. I can teach a lot about immortality, eternal life. I can teach a lot about heaven. But the question is, am I in the realities of what I'm talking about? That's the question. I don't know if I get my point. Well, if you don't get me, maybe you can ask me questions later. It is one thing to have revelations. It is another thing to dwell and live and walk in the realities of the revelations you have. So if I have revelations about divine healing, so the question is, do I still depend on drugs? I mean, personally now in my life, in my lifestyle, do I still depend on drugs for healing and health? Though I can teach a lot. In fact, I may be able to pray for people to get the healing, and maybe sometimes they can get it. But the question is, in my own life, is what I thought, is it working in my life? Are you getting it now? What I am teaching about? Is it happening in my life? So if I'm teaching you about financial prosperity, how trusting in God will make you blessed financially, and you don't have to trust in man for your needs. You just need to trust in God, and then God will move people to bless you. If I teach you that, the question is it working in my own life? Has it worked in my life? Yeah. So Christianity and ministry is beyond just having revelations. Anybody can have revelations. Even unbelievers can receive powerful revelations. But the kingdom of God is beyond that. It has a lot to do with transformation. Have we been transformed into the kind of Christians that now walk in the realities of the revelations that we have received? Have we been changed into such persons that now practice the things we are telling others to do? Yeah, if we are telling others to stop committing sin, are we committing sin? Yeah, if we are telling others to stop becoming slaves to sin, are we not slaves to sin? I hope you get me now. Yeah, so wisdom is actually in that area of obedience. And in fact, that is what is more important to Jesus. Now, you can't get to the gate of heaven now and say, Jesus, don't forget, I'm an anointed preacher and teacher of the world. And you give me powerful revelations. So you can't just tell me that I don't belong to your kingdom. Jesus will just be looking at, he will just be looking at you like this. Yeah, because what matters to Jesus is, do you obey the word? That is what matters in heaven. It's not that do you got many revelations. I don't know if you get to me. It is about do you obey? Are you obeying? Are you practicing? Are you walking in obedience? Yeah. Did you allow the truth, the revelations, to change you into the person God wants you to be? That is the question that matters to Jesus. Yeah. And if you have found one thing, you are not welcome in the kingdom of God. Yeah. I pray that the Lord give you more understanding about these things. In Jesus' name. Yeah. So we're going to... But at least you already know now where the wisdom is. Yeah, so if you have been reading the Bible, you have been listening to sermons, to teachings, and you have not been practicing what you have been hearing, you have to repent now. Otherwise, you're just wasting your time as a Christian. Yeah, because sooner or later, you will backslide. Yeah. So if you have been listening to all my teachings and you're just using them to feel good, you know, there's a way some people use this teaching to feel good. Yeah, they say, oh, that man of God is very wise and is very deep. I just like to listen to him. It makes me feel good. I'm encouraging you to stop using teachings to feel good. Yeah, if you have been using my teachings to feel good, you have to stop now. Because the purpose is not to feel good. Yeah, if it's about feeling good, In fact, I will not be here doing the teaching. And that is why I don't teach to sound good. I don't want to sound good or sound impressive or sound interesting. That's not the purpose. So that is why sometimes I may not even get the English correct, because that's not the purpose. The purpose is that, are you going to really get the truth that God wants to tell you through my mouth? So the purpose is I'm making sure that you get the truth. And then the next thing now depends on you. The next purpose is, will you obey the truth? Yeah, so stop using spiritual things to feel good. It's just like some people come to our prayer sessions and they just do the prayers to feel good. It's not about feeling good. Some they just use the prayers to warm up themselves. It's not like spiritual warm up or workout. It's not like you go to the gym to work out or to warm up. Yeah, this is about life and death. And this is about your eternity. Yeah, so it's not just about using it to feel good. It's about burying yourself in the message. Yeah, doing what God is saying. Yeah, it's about really you pursuing after becoming like Jesus, and that Jesus would transform you into the person He wants you to be. It's about transformation. Not just. I just want to feel good. Yeah. Don't do that. Yeah. Give your heart to everything that is true. Give your heart wholly, fully to everything that is true. And live for the truth. Obey the truth. Embrace the truth. Yeah, and let the truth change you completely. May God help you. So let's look at another scripture. Luke chapter 8, verse 13. Luke chapter 8. Verse 13. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Yeah, Jesus was talking about the sower. The person who went sowing seeds, and then some fell on the ground, some fell among thorns, some fell on the good ground, some fell among thorns, some fell on the wayside, and some fell on the rocks. So he was saying that the ones that fell on the rocks are the people that, when the word of God came to them, when the truth came to them, or when revelations of the word of God came to them, they received it with joy. But they have no root in them. Yeah. Can you see that? They received it with joy, but their hearts were not ready, or their hearts were not for the word. yeah, you can receive something in your mind, in your head, and your heart may not be opened for that thing to enter into your heart. I don't know if I get my point. Though it was able to enter into your mind, but it did not enter into your heart. Yeah, so that was the people that Jesus was referring to. Yeah, their hearts were not opened for the word. Yeah, but they were excited when they received the word. It entered into their mind, but it did not enter into their heart. So even today, some Christians, they only have the word of God in their head, in their mind, but they don't have it in their heart. Now, you may be asking the question, at what point can we see the word of God have prevailed in your heart or have entered into your heart? Well, I think I've said it earlier. It is actually at the point of obedience. Yeah. At first, there's going to be struggle. Yeah, and they struggle because the word of God is trying to enter into your heart and rest in your heart and find their resting place in your heart. So there will be struggle. For instance, the word of God says, "Do this." And then you want to do it, but there is struggle in you. Something in you is pulling you back from doing it. But eventually you did it. But that was just once. And then again, you know that the word of God means that you should do it often. You should do that thing all the time. But you did it once, but it was with struggle. Now you want to do it again. There comes another struggle. Now, all those struggling is going on in your heart. Yeah, the word wants to enter into your heart, but your flesh, your human nature does not want it. Yeah, that is why the fighting is going on. The word of God says, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie. Yeah. Don't commit adultery. Don't commit fornication. Yeah. Don't bow to mammon. Don't serve money. Be generous towards God. Yeah. And then you want to obey the word. And then the struggle is rising in your heart. Yeah. That means it has not yet entered into your heart, but it's trying to enter into your heart. Yeah, so you can now see that it has entered into your heart when the struggle is no more there. Now you can do righteousness without any struggle. Yeah, that is when it is now in your heart. That is, it is now natural with you. Yeah, just the way the organs in your body, the function, they do their function naturally, effortlessly. For instance, your heart beats by itself, effortlessly. Your lungs, they expand and contract by themselves. Effortlessly, yeah, because you can breathe normally, there's no problem. It's because the lung is functioning well, effortlessly. So now, when the word of God is in your heart, that is when you do righteousness effortlessly. You do evangelism effortlessly. You don't feel struggle going out to preach the gospel. You just do it like it's just normal, it's natural. You pray just like it's normal. It means prayer is now part of your heart. You fast normally, no struggle. It's going now. It's not part of your spirit. It's not part of your heart. Yeah, I hope you understand now. Yeah, but if you are still at the level of struggling, and then you're saying, "Oh man of God, I'm trying my best," it means the word of God has not prevailed in your heart yet. If you are still struggling to do it, to obey, it means it hasn't prevailed yet. And if it does not prevail, you can't be sure that you will make heaven. That's the point. If all the instructions in the Word of God, if they have not prevailed, if they have not yet prevailed in your heart, you can't be sure that you will make heaven. Yeah, so that is why it's beyond the head. Is beyond excitement. The word of God is beyond emotions and feelings. It must prevail in your heart and now become natural with you and now become what you do effortlessly, yeah, easily, without any struggle. What you do joyfully. Yeah, without being pressured or without being being compelled. Yeah, there's some people that they don't give until we start to talk about giving and teach a lot about giving. Yeah, that means those people giving is only in their head. The word of God about giving is only in their head. It has not entered into their heart. Yeah. And many other issues in the Bible. Ask yourself, are these things in the scriptures, are they only in my head? Have they entered into my heart? Are they now dwelling in my heart? So this is how you will know if you are grounded in the word of God or not. We don't have much time left. Let us look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 19. Chapter 1 verse 19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. I like this verse a lot. 1 Timothy 1 verse 19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Now, what the writer is saying is that some people have removed good conscience from their faith. And that has destroyed their faith. So that was what the word shipwreck. Shipwreck. Yeah, that was what that word means. Yeah. I believe you got it. They removed good conscience from their faith. Yeah, they think you can have faith and not have good conscience. So, what is good conscience? A good conscience that is when your motives appear. Yeah, that is good conscience. When your motives are pure, your motives about serving God, your motives about prayer, what are your prayer requests, your prayer points, your motive about giving, because some people, they say, oh, I have no problem with giving. I'm a generous person. I can give anything. In fact, I can give everything that I have. Yes, you can give, but what about the aspect of good conscience? Yeah. What about the aspect of your motives? What are your motives? Why are you giving? Yeah. So if the motive is not correct, the good thing that you are doing is not going to last for long. Your faith is not going to last for long if your motives are wrong. Yeah, in fact, God is not going to accept your faith. Yeah. And God is not going to respond to your faith if your motives are wrong. God is not going to answer your prayer if your motives are wrong. If your motives are against the standard of God, the standard of the Word of God, yeah, your good works will be rejected by God because your motives are wrong. Yeah, so good conscience is very important. For instance, some people's prayers were not answered because those prayers were inspired by envy, by jealousy, and some by pride. That was the reason for the prayer request. Yeah, the motive behind the prayer request was wrong. Yeah. And because of that, God rejected the prayer. I pray that God will not reject your prayer. So make sure that you have good conscience. Yeah, anything you are doing in the house of God, anything you are doing for God, anything you are doing for servants of God, make sure that you have good motive behind it, good conscience behind it. Because if you don't, number one, God is not going to accept what you have done. And number two, your faith is going to crush eventually. Yeah, your faith will not survive. Yeah, because in fact, I think my time is already fast spent. I want to give you an example. Something that happened real life. Yeah. Let me just summarize it now. There was this sister that faint. Yeah, she said she had been praying for me. Yeah, that she prayed for me a lot. You know, what I'm saying now happened some years ago. I don't know how many years now. Yeah, she was saying she prayed for me a lot, and God was showing her many things about me. So she would sometimes tell me those things that God was showing her. Yeah, I said, okay, just pray. Now, I want you to note that I did not ask her to pray for me. Yeah, it's not like I said, please be praying for me. I did not even say anything like that. He just said, oh, I've been praying for you. Yeah, and I do that a lot. And these are the things God has been showing me. Now, this is where I'm going. Now, after some time, there was an issue that happened. It was about, the issue was about my reaction to our relationship with somebody else. I think another sister. So I was pointing out certain things that she did that is wrong. I was pointing out some error in her life. I was saying, you're not supposed to do this. That one, this one is wrong. That one is wrong. You're not supposed to be doing this with this particular person. Yeah, that other person was also a sister. So I think along the line she got angry or offended, and then she was not saying, she was not saying things like, "Why would you be talking like that? Me that have been praying for you." I hope you're getting my point. Why would you be talking like that? Why will you behave like that? Why will you say something like that? With so many things I have done for you, I pray a lot for you. I was now thinking, if the motive behind, if the motive in her heart behind the prayers she said she was doing for me was correct, she would not be saying, you're not supposed to offend me because I pray a lot for you. I don't know if you're getting my point. That statement shows that our motive behind the intercession was even wrong. Yeah, because I pray for a lot of people, and many of them, I don't even tell them that I'm praying for them. Many of them don't even know. In fact, I pray for strangers. God will just tell me their names. Sometimes God will show me their face. Yeah, I will see their faces. You know, it will be so clear that if I see them in real life, I will know that this is the person. Yeah, God will bring their pictures to me and sometimes give me their names and tell me the problem happening in their lives, and then I will just pray for them. Yeah, now, they don't even know that I'm praying for them. I mean, those people. Yeah, and of course, there are some that I know, and God tells me to pray for them, and I don't tell them that I'm praying for them. Yeah, because my motive is not to gain anything from them. My motive is based on love. Yeah, I'm just doing it because I just want their lives to get better. And in fact, I don't want anything in return from them. So that's why I don't even tell them I'm praying for them. Yeah, so but this person began to, began to criticize me. That I'm not supposed to correct her and point out her error because she have been praying for me a lot. I don't know if I'm getting my point. Yeah, so that means the intercession was based on wrong motives. Yeah, so if your motive behind spiritual exercises are wrong, God is going to reject such exercise or such good work. God is not going to accept it. Yeah, it's just like some other people that they give a loan to the ministry and then they don't want the leader of the ministry to correct them. Yeah, because they say they feel like they are being betrayed, or I don't even know how they feel. So they feel like, why will you be correcting me? knowing that I support you alone. I give the largest offering. Yeah, then why should you correct me? So it means the motive behind their giving is wrong. Yeah, or was wrong. Yeah, because if it's not wrong, they would not reject correction from the leader. Yeah, so those are just few examples. There are many examples. So it was when I came across that verse that a lot of things started to change in my faith life. I now start to realize why God does not answer some of my prayers, because I now began to check what my motive is concerning my faith. Yeah, but I don't know if all of you here you have read that place in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 19. Yeah, but from the time I found that place, I corrected so many things in my own life. Yeah, personal, and I saw God start to do wonders in my life. Yeah, because now I know the kind of prayers that God will answer. Because I know that my motive behind such prayers are correct. Yeah. And then I know when my faith becomes powerful. Because I know that there is good conscience in my heart concerning that faith. May God help you to do the right thing. In Jesus' name. There is one more scripture. Let us quickly look at it before we pray. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 3-4. Second Timothy chapter 4. Verse 3-4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Yeah, and that is already happening. Yeah, because today I can even point at many Christians and ministers of God. They are not even far from me. They are around me. I can point at them. Yeah, and these are so-called Christians that can no longer endure sound doctrine. Yeah, and now they select the teachers they want to listen to. The ones that really teach sound doctrine of the Word of God. They don't like to hear such teachers. Yeah, because they now have itching ears. They don't want to hear the truth anymore. In fact, the truth makes them uncomfortable. So they don't want to hear the truth anymore. My question to you is, does the truth now make you uncomfortable? Yeah. Do you now have itching ears toward the truth? Are you now selecting some part of the Bible and you are saying, oh, this part of the Bible is the one that I like. This other part, I don't want anything to do with it. If you are doing that, your faith is not going to survive. If you are selecting which of God's commandments you want to follow, and then the rest you don't want to follow them, you're backsliding already. If you are selecting which truth you want to obey, and then you're pushing some other truth apart, or you're pushing them away, you're saying, I don't want to have anything to do with those ones. But these ones, yeah, I'm comfortable with them. But these other ones that Jesus talked about, or the Bible talked about, these other ones, I don't want to have anything to do with them. If you're like that, you're already backsliding. And as a matter of fact, it would be wrong to call you a Christian. Yeah. So I'm going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask me personally, or you can ask on the group platform, on the Telegram platform. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for everything you have exposed to us from your scriptures and through your Holy Spirit. Thank you for sending this kind of message or teaching to us at this time to keep us from falling away from the faith. Be thou glorified forever in Jesus' name. We know that you are a loving Father and you are so full of mercy. And you are ready to receive us. If we repent genuinely and turn away from our wicked ways. So therefore, O Lord, I ask that as many that have been touched by these teachings and now they are repenting and they want to amend their ways before you. They want to correct themselves and renew their relationship with you. O Lord, I ask that you forgive them and that you draw them closer unto yourself. In Jesus' name, I pray for you that henceforth you shall start to do the word of God, even if it appears difficult, in Jesus' name. I pray that all the powers of darkness and forces of hell that don't want you to obey and practice the word of God, the word of Christ, I pray that the anger of God consume them now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. Amen. Amen.